what I'm going to do. Now, I don't know, you know, I've had new grandchildren, but do you guys know, have you heard we have a new president? Do y'all know that? Yeah. And, you know, there's a certain phrase or statements that drove me nuts during this political historic battle that took place just last year. You remember these phrases? Trust me. Believe me. And how about this one? I'm being honest with you. You know what I thought when I heard those statements? Yeah, right. Yeah. Why are we so, again, gun shy when especially politicians give us those kind of statements? Because we've been burnt. We have, again, experienced over and over again one guy saying one thing but doing the very opposite. And folks, what's the problem? We've learned that a lot of people aren't, what's that word, trustworthy. Now, can I tell you something to help you? Don't be paranoid toward people, whether they're car dealers or politicians or preachers. You know, you can be careful. Be very discerning. That's the key word. Because there are people out there, if you're naive and you're dumb enough to trust everybody around you, there are people smart enough, wicked enough, and ready and willing to take advantage of you at any given opportunity. Now, I'm an old dude. I grew up when your word was enough. Does anybody old enough remember that? Where you could do a deal with a handshake and it would be the real deal and do what it's supposed to. Now, even back then when I was younger in my Leave It to Beaver era of life, and that's for the old people, you know, black and white TV for you homeschoolers. You know what I'm saying? Okay, never mind. But, you know, there were still people back then that would rip you off if they had opportunity, because there's have always been wicked people, and again, they're not there to help you, they're there to hurt you if they can. Now, I'm glad, and here's what I'm going to park on today, that God's Word is still enough. That as you get to know Him, and you'll know this more so the more you're in the Word of God, that God is most certainly trustworthy. And folks, from Genesis to Revelation, God says, trust me, trust me, trust me. And there should be no doubt or hesitation. But do you all agree, sadly and very obviously stated, we don't go there and do that like we're supposed to do. And I gave an example this morning, the what if monster. Do you know that monster? Well, what if the finances don't come? What if my voice doesn't come back? What if this? What if that? And again, it just makes you dysfunctional as far as your service for Jesus is concerned. And especially, folks, you don't do what needs to be done to really please and honor Him. So I want to talk about our trustworthy God today, because, folks, He is trustworthy. Would you bow your heads and hearts for just a moment, please? Heads bowed and eyes closed, because, folks, here's where I'm going with this message. I want to show you how you can come to that point of truly looking unto Jesus and trusting and obeying Him. And, folks, that's the only way it's going to work. If you're going to be the productive, faithful, consistent servant of God like you're supposed to. Heavenly Father, help us now as we look into this topic, into this passage here today, as far as trusting You as we're supposed to trust and obey You. So God, I pray that You'll give me, again, clarity of presentation, but God, give these folks clarity of understanding. We have way too many dysfunctional, sideline believers today because they're not trusting in You. They're trusting in their own whatever, you know, their intellect or their spiritual whatevers, instead of trusting You, God, the way You deserve, and You must be trusted. So, God, shake us up, wake us up as needed, and don't let us miss this important aspect of our faithful choosing, Lord, to be a fit, usable vessel, Lord, so we can finish strong, we can finish faithful, and not be sidelined, not be dysfunctional because of our carnal, fleshly choosing. God, bind Satan this morning. God, deliver us from this rotten, weak flesh we're parked in. And Lord, help us to respond to Your tender, loving work this hour. Lord, no doubt with this crowd, there's still folks that need to get saved. Maybe we got some visitors. We got some church members been playing the game way too long. They're real religious. They love You, but they still don't know You as personal Savior. God, bring a work in our midst in such an obvious way, we can't stay in the seat. We've got to fall humbly before You and receive and rightly respond to your working as the Word of God pierces our heart here this very hour. God, help us to be on the edge of our seat as such, excited, anticipating with great expectation the power and the working of God this hour. And God, through what's again settled, set forth, and really established today, help us to do the bottom line. The bottom line is to give praise, honor, and glory to your name. So, Lord, we rejoice in your goodness, look forward to this opportunity, for it's in Jesus' precious and holy name we pray. Amen. Now, folks, as we seek to, again, more deepen for some of you, but maybe establish for others that trust mindset toward a trustworthy God, how do we get this working? Well, here's kind of how my brain worked in this equation or this discussion. First of all, we got to kind of think through, how do we establish a relationship with others? You know, how do we gain trust of certain people in situations? We have to do that all the time, right? Well, it starts the way any relationship begins, and that's, again, establishing or, again, consummating that kind of relationship. And you got to kind of, as such, get to know that person. And folks, we can do that if we take time, again, to get past our excuses and, again, our own whatevers as far as reasoning is concerned. Now, I want to do this because I kind of skipped over my notes here a little bit. How often and how much does God say trust Him? Well, before I go back to the other point, it says trust Him at all times. You know where that is? That's Psalm 62 and verse 8. And the pet verses of our fundamental lives, Proverbs 3, 5, and 6, it says, trust the Lord in all your ways. But why don't we go there? Why don't we do that? Because we want to be in control. I'm speaking from experience here. You know, I want to be in charge or in control of my own destiny. And it gets so frustrating in my life if I can't fix it. I told Pastor John when this throat stuff started coming up, it was after I was here. It was back in 2014. I was just running out of vocal steam as such. And so I tried to self-medicate. I tried to, again, manipulate my life so I could, again, fix what's broken and do what I thought needed to be done. You know what God did? I got this secular job because I didn't think I'd be able to preach. But guess what? It was a sales type of job. Piece of cake. Big bucks. And God took my voice completely away. It's kind of like God went, ha, 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 now will you trust me? Now will you obey me? And folks, you know, at my age, you don't go and dig a ditch. Are y'all with me here? Yeah, if I did, I'd be, you know, not just without voice, I'd be in a bed. You know, one of those electric ones. Bring me my food. I'd have a drool cup hanging from my head. And so there wasn't many options as far as physical labor's concerned. So I had to shut up and trust the Lord. You know how hard that is for me to shut up, period? Are you with me here, people? But God said, I'm going to put you in a position where you can't fix what's broken. That was very, very... You know what? This guy's leaving right now, but let me say something. I don't mean to embarrass you, but I have hair envy when I see you. I really do. When I turned there and you guys were going, hallelujah, God is so good, I went over there. I hate that kid. I don't even know him, and I don't like him. Go ahead, sir. Go use the restroom, but please don't leave. Please don't leave. I'm sorry that I embarrassed you, but he won't give in a love offering anyway, so I don't really care. You want to guess, people? If I picked on, you know, J.D. says, you know, he's kind of still bitter. You know, I didn't realize I instilled so much bitterness in the young lad's heart, but it's oozing out. But, you know, I just love picking on teenagers. But I've learned as I've gotten older how many of those have become adults and they still hate me. Are you with me here? So it's just kind of a revelation, but I really don't care. Now, what is the real problem, folks? We don't trust God. Oh, I know you're fundamentally equipped with the truths of God's word, but you still don't trust Him. That's why you're a basket case. That's why your life is a nervous, dysfunctional wreck most of the time. Because again, folks, you think it's up to you. Instead of realizing anything good comes to our life and through our lives, it's because of the power, presence, and working of Almighty God. So let me go back where I prematurely or kind of went a little too soon as far as how do we establish relationship and trust with a person? Well, you got to have a relationship. But what happens in this relationship, you go into find out mode to see if they're trustworthy. What do you look for in an individual to see whether or not you can trust them? Integrity. You know, are they doing right, or they kind of do right when it's convenient? Are they full of character? Do they have, again, a representation of stuff? And you know what I mean by stuff. Pastor John has stuff. Now, we know some of it's not good stuff, okay, because that's the way it is with any human being. But you know what? I wouldn't trust my life to this guy. Why? Because I love him and because I know him. Because many years back, we established a relationship, and over the years, as I've known him better, I trust him even more. Y'all see how this works, folks? When the relationship is established and you go to the find out mode and you find out, boy, it's good stuff, boy, I tell you, that trust, and again, that trustworthiness, it just grows and grows and becomes more and more. Then secondly, as the relationship develops, you do the learn and earn thing, you find out there are certain people you can't trust. Have you learned that? That some people are, don't point, but some people are just flat out disgusting hypocrites. They're liars. They may say, oh, I'll pray for you. They're not going to pray for you any more than a man on the moon. Well, let me do that. And they may say it, but there's no consistency and, again, reliable response to back up a life of trustworthiness. Now, if that's you this morning, you're not right with God. You listen to me? If there is doubt of your character or a question of your integrity, you're out of the will of God. And you will not be entrusted with the blessed privilege of serving God, folks, like God wants to, again, bless us and entrust us with His bidding. So here's what happens. You establish the relationship. The relationship develops. And then comes the hard part. You know what the hardest part is? Making a decision. Whether or not you will choose to trust or, again, not trust that person. Now, let's take this to our, again, opportunity of trusting God. Why is it that most people don't trust Him? Because they've yet to establish a relationship with Him. You don't know Him! Teenager, I know you're here. Some of you guys are only here because you're in hunt mode. I got to get me a woman. I don't care what she looks like. I just want her breathing. And some of you girls are worse than that. You see a guy come by and you just go, what are standards? Who cares? Oh, I love Herbert. You know what I'm saying? It's just that way, people. But listen, you've got to understand you're not going to get it done in any fashion, any sort, until you establish a personal, biblical relationship with Jesus. That's why some of these people in this church drive you nuts. Man, they're always excited. They're singing praise to God. They want to work for Jesus. Can you imagine? Life's just too busy. I can't be bothered with that. I'm bothered that you may not know the one you profess to know. Because, folks, when you really know Him, you'll want to really know Him better. Now, how does that happen? Well, that walk and talk thing in a daily way, where you, again, set your agenda, your calendar, your schedule around knowing Jesus more so every single day. And, folks, shouldn't that be an anticipated glory, hallelujah, privilege? But you know what? Still, folks, as I travel, I'm still amazed. How many people don't read their Bibles? Even in a good church like this, I would guarantee most in this church don't read their Bible more than 5 minutes a day. And some of you, when you do a Bible devotion, you just read the kind of good story and kind of acknowledge the reference, but you don't deepen your life. You don't deepen your understanding of how good and great our God is, and no wonder you're trusting in someone or something else other than Him. Yeah, you may know Him, but you don't know Him well enough as a believer in Christ Jesus to trust Him the way a trustworthy God should be trusted. Now what happens, folks? Then you still have the hard part of this equation. You got to make a choice, don't you? And I'm talking to guys past 40. We're kind of known as fix it and get it done people. Me, head of the house, me, leader of family, me, conquer all, me, strong, me, smart, but you're still not as strong and smart as my God. And God still says in your leadership response, but I'm glad you're responsible. I'm glad you're trying to fix what's broken, but don't ever seek to do anything apart from the intervening power and working of God, because I guarantee you, you're going to run out of gas. You're going to make some dumb, you're going to make dumb decisions anyway, because you're going to get in the way, but you're going to end up in a spot, a fleshly devastation because of your fleshly choosing that you never thought you would be a part of as far as your life is concerned. And folks, one bad thing about being around a long time, you see a lot of folks fall into despair and destructive choosing of the flesh. Who would have thunk it as far as David's concerned? A man after God's own heart ends up having an immoral relationship with Bathsheba. He ends up murdering her husband. And it all started because of irresponsibility to the call that God had placed upon his life. Folks, we've got to be smart enough to again learn from history of God's warning through this book and make sure we don't go there, we don't do that, no matter how smart, no matter how long you've been saved, no matter how much you've been in the Word of God, the Spirit is willing, folks, but the flesh is still weak. And folks, don't trust yourself. But let me give you some encouragement. It's always a right choice to trust and obey your God. Why? Because, folks, I've learned this. I've learned that God is trustworthy. Now, here's our passage for this morning. It's not going long because I'm driving to Greenville this afternoon and I've got time to mess with you people. Go to Psalm 37, would you please? I really am. Now, I was going to preach here, both service. I'm going to tell on Pastor John here a little bit. You know, when we were up there at Nehemiah, up at her recital thing, and that was such a blessing. I tell you, I wish you all could have been there. I was like a proud papa. My buttons were popping off of my ever-loving jacket and shirt. Man, that girl was just amazing and incredible, and I just happened to be as such passing through, but it was God-ordained thing. But here's what happened. I mean, I'm crying like she's my own child. Of course, blubber here, you know, is it? And I'm not talking about fatness, okay? I mean, he's just a crying. He cries, oh, call mom at AT&T. You know your pastor. Well, I just got the thought, and I can still picture, like yesterday, John's dad sitting right here. I mean, every revival I've done here, he's always right down at the front. I don't know if he couldn't hear real good or he just liked to be in the spit pit. I'm not sure. But the only thing that overwhelmed me, and I started crying because I just pictured John's dad sitting next to us, and he'd be crying just as much as he was, okay? So I made the mistake of leaning over to Pastor John and saying, hey, I just pictured your dad here. Why did you tell me that? Oh, I was so embarrassed. How dumb am I? Pastor John says, hey, I'll come preach on the 30th. That'd be great, man. Sunday morning, Sunday night, Sunday school. Ha ha, revival time. God is... He forgot that the teens were preaching tonight. So guess who got canceled? Okay? Y'all with me here? But I warn you, I will return. I'm coming back in October for something special. John will tell you about that later on. Now, in Psalm 37, Get your pens out, would you? I want you to mark up your Bible, and I want you to circle some words here. Now, my pastor calls this section of Scripture the Stay Faithful Charge. Boy, doesn't that wake you up and nothing else? Yeah, the Stay Faithful Charge. And I guess you could call it the Fret Not passage or the Trust God passage. But folks, look at this wonderful passage from the Word of God. And this doesn't encourage you, you don't want to be encouraged. If this doesn't help you fix what's broken, you're just, again, feeling sorry for yourself and you want to stay dysfunctional. But you want to fix it? You want to get it right? You want to get going and not just be stalled out for Jesus, but again, pressing toward the mark, the prize, the high calling of God in Christ Jesus? Get a hold of this section of Scripture, folks. It says in Psalm 37 and verse 1, it says, fret not thyself. You mean that's a problem with God? Yeah, and it's a problem with you too. If you're in that fret mode, you're a nervous wreck and you're dysfunctional because you're looking to your flesh and circumstances instead of looking unto Jesus. But keep reading. It says, fret not thyself because of evildoers, and there's a limited amount of people in that fashion. It says, neither be envious against the workers of iniquity. Now, folks, aren't we that way? Doesn't the sin of covetousness, hair envy, y'all with me here? You know, doesn't that happen? We look at these people, man, they've got the cars, they've got the houses, they seem to be so successful, but they don't have anything concerning Jesus but maybe 14 tattoos. Are you with me? Or that sort of thing. And you kind of forget they're empty apart from Jesus. They got the toys, they've got the things, but they still don't have Jesus, so they have no peace of God, people, that passes all understanding. That's why they get married 50 times. Or again, go from this to that to something else, trying to fix what only Jesus can bring as far as fixing is concerned. So it says, "For they shall soon be cut down like the grass and wither as green herb." Now here's the first word, the topic of the hour, trust. Look at verse 3, circle it. And then draw a line like I've done in my Bible down to verse 5. But here's the simple truth of God's will for our lives. Trust in the Lord. Verse 5, trust also in Him. Now, folks, again, I'm not the sharpest pencil in the box. You folks know that, but this is, again, understandable. I'm not here to trust in man. I'm not here to trust in anything, anybody, except first foremost in everything, trust the Lord. Now, the second word, or the second part I want you to circle, it says, and do good. Why would God say that to us very intellectual, gifted people? Because, folks, we don't do it in the way God would have it done. Now, look what it says, if you'll draw a line down to verse 23, or at least put a reference by your verse there. Down to verse 23, it says, the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delighteth in his way. So, folks, when I choose to do good, not again, I'm a Boy Scout, I want to help 50,000 old ladies across the street, I want my merit badges, all one of spark, 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 how many are there? Sparks to light the world. I don't think you do a wanna here, do you? You do kind of a King's Kid type of thing. But, you know, in a lot of churches, they have a wanna. Do you know what a wanna stands for? All workers are not available. Okay, I thought that's funny. So again, folks, there's a choice to do good, and it's not goodness to draw attention to yourself, but fulfilling because you're trusting in God what He orders up. See, the reason you don't serve because you don't trust Him. You are called to be a preacher, and you've yet to say yes to God because you don't trust Him. God's called you to be a missionary. You're not going there and do that. Why? You don't trust Him. So therefore, you're not doing the call of God upon your life to do the good by His ordering, by His guidance that He saved and called you. Let's make it more local church. You're a horrible representation of soul winning. You don't even carry tracts. You don't look for opportunities every day. Why? Because you're fearful of what man may ask you or what I can accomplish. Folks, we can't do anything apart from the intervening power of God. We're just here to be faithful as messengers of God, as yielded servants, and trusting God that He'll do what only He can do. What is that? Convince, convict, and confirm. How many more people would be saved if we got into trust mode and simply sought faithfully by His power to do good? Ordered by the directing hand of God through the Holy Spirit's illuminating power and work. So it says, trust in the Lord. First word, circle, circle, circle. Put a mark there. Then the next thing, do good. So shalt thou dwell in the land, and verily thou shalt be fed. But here's the next word, delight. Not dread. Not just drag yourself through. Is that bald guy ever going to shut up? Of course, I'm talking about Pastor John, not me. And, I got to go to church. Or, I get that phone call from Pastor John. Where have you been, you backslidden, worthless, heathen church member? Aren't you supposed to be here when the doors are open? You know how obnoxious this man can be. Of course, he's got a henchman now that's big, okay? J.D. could hurt you, okay? The gentle giant. But, folks, listen, he shouldn't have to call you. He shouldn't have to wonder. He should be upset and say, well, they must be sick. Well, something's happened. He should be shocked when you don't show up. But he's shocked when you do show up. Man, you come Sunday morning. I'm a faithful Sunday morning Christian.
Well, bless your heart. You should be.
But you should have just as much faithfulness on your scorecard on Sunday night and Wednesday and any other opportunity you have to learn more of the Word of God so you can know Him better, so you can trust Him more, and you can do what you're here to do as a believer in Christ. I guarantee you, folks, I've done this a long time. If you're spotty, hit and miss as far as a local church choosing is concerned, feeding, service, you're spotty in about every aspect and things you are before the Lord Jesus Christ and this lost and dying world. You're up and down like a pogo stick. I mean, you're up here, you're down here, and it's your own fault. And I think bottom line, folks, you just don't delight in the Lord. Because what we delight in, folks, that's what we want to fill our lives with. Did you see that down in verse 23? The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delighteth in his way. God, show me more. God, what else? God, this is great. Man, I can't wait to have you open another opportunity to just be pleasing in your sight and get a job done for you. Isn't that His desire? If you love me, what you going to do? Whatever He orders up. Whatever He, again, privileges you with as far as His will is concerned. So, first word, trust, do good. Delight thyself also in the Lord, and He shall give thee the desires of thine heart. That's the only part we know, don't we? He's going to give me, Mama needs a new pair of shoes. Oh, yeah. I need me a new pick-em-up truck. I need some of this. Isn't that the way teenagers think? You know, if I just do good with God, He'll bless me. And I can get all the technology I want to have. And then I can just have all the toys of the world. New video games! I can have more technology! Oh, brother. You know what? You know where they learned that from? Us adults. Because it seems like we do right just so we can get more. Instead of doing right so we can show more love for Him. Folks, again, it ain't about us. It's all about pleasing and honoring God. And you know what? Your love relationship showing up because you delight in your God. And whatever He knows is best and needed for your life, because that's always what's best and needed as He orders it up. So I got to keep going here. It says, delight thyself also in the Lord, and He shall give thee the desires of thine heart. Now here's probably the kicker and the killer of the deal as such. It's a word of profanity to many people today, especially when it comes to serving Jesus. Look at the next word and circle it, maybe highlight it as well. It says, commit. Ooh. Isn't it amazing how we'll commit ourselves to everything but that which is best and needed and expected of our lives as believers? Man, we'll commit to politics. We'll commit to sports. We'll commit to some this, that, and the other world. And that stuff is just temporal, folks. It's nothing in comparison to the blessed will and working of God. But it's pretty straight up, isn't it? Commit thy way unto the Lord. And it says again, trust me. Trust also in Him. And what's going to happen? He shall bring it to pass. Last night, as over Pastor John, and I'd love to have sung this morning, but I'm still not where I'm comfortable as far as, but I gave them a torturous concert last night with my gravel voice of the new songs I've written and all this sort of thing. But JD took me down to the basement. No, it was the garage, wasn't it? It's the garage. Went to the garage and we did one of those film things, you know, like some of you people have gotten to do, give testimony. And you know what? It was kind of fun to be a part of. But folks, I gave testimony of how good our God is. That my testimony verse is 1 Corinthians 10:31. That's my life verse. But I gave the phrase, I don't know if you folks remember this from preaching years ago, but when Jesus ceases to be precious, man ceases to be faithful. Do you remember that? Yeah, I hope you got that written in your Bible. Because, folks, unless we, again, establish that kind of love relationship, you're not going to, again, look to Him like you should to accomplish, again, what He would have done. Now, let me give you some more here so I don't go too long. It says in verse 7, rest in the Lord. And you know what I did, and this is just, again, from my understanding, I drew a line from rest to the next word, which is wait. You know, because it has the same connotation or the same idea. See, you're going to rest or wait on something or someone. You know, you're going to wait upon your circumstances. You're going to wait upon your personality. You're going to wait on your intellect or something other than Jesus. But folks, we're here to rest in the Lord. We're here to continually wait upon God. Isn't that what Scripture says? Wait on God continually. And again, folks, what does that mean? I'm trusting Him and not me. I'm not letting circumstances direct me somewhere other than where God... Are you okay, brother? Are you okay? You almost look like you're ready to fall asleep. Are you okay? I know I'm boring, okay? I know you're used to the energy and this, the magnificence. It's your family, isn't it? You're just depressed. I know who your dad is. I'm so sorry. Okay, y'all with me? You know, I am. I'm just... Is that your dad? Is that your dad? Oh, bless your heart. I do counseling. I can help you afterwards, okay? But if you put your hand here, it's liable just... Your law will just get pimples or something. You know what I'm saying? So stay alert. Don't fall asleep. I'm going as fast as I... JD, you okay? No. Okay, all right, all right. He gives me that I hate you look. It just scares me. All right, so here we go. So again, folks, waiting upon your circumstances, your personality, you're like, no, that's the wrong choice. You're here to wait on God continually. Now, what we have in this passage, look at verse 34. It deals with that topic even in this passage again. It says in verse 34, wait on the Lord and keep His way, and He shall exalt thee to inherit the land. In other words, He's going to bring forth what He promises, folks. And it goes on to say, when the wicked are cut off, thou shalt see it. In other words, folks, this is something that's missing in most Christian lives, and again, their choices therein and thereof. You're waiting upon something or someone other than God, and you wonder why this Christian stuff doesn't work. You wonder why there's no joy, there's no peace, there's no contentment. You're trusting in the wrong thing. You're looking to the wrong person or thing. And folks, if we're going to again conquer fear, we're going to again trust God as He deserves to be trusted, we're going to choose to wait upon our God. It's kind of like God saying, hey, look at me. No, I mean, really look at me. Not just as the author, but as the finisher of your faith. Look at me and stay looking, people. And there's nothing more glorious, nothing more beautiful than looking unto Jesus as, again, the author and the finisher of your faith. Now, go down with me to the last part of this chapter and let me close this out. In verse, and don't you hate when preachers say that and they go on like forever? I'll try not to do that, okay? Look down at verse, Pastor John, look down at verse 39. In verse 39 says, but the salvation of the righteous is of the Lord. He is their strength in a time of trouble. Then look at verse 40. Wow. It says, the Lord shall help them and deliver them. He shall deliver them from the wicked and save them because, why, people? We've made a right choice. We did it biblically, and we don't do this real good, people, in many areas, but especially in this one. It says, they trusted in Him. You're frustrated. For some of you, you're flat out empty. You have no joy. You have no peace. You're just a nervous wreck. You're a dysfunctional human being as far as the will and working of God is concerned. And why is that so true in your life? Well, let me back the card up a minute. Maybe it's because you've yet to establish a relationship with God so you can really know He's trustworthy. I'm not saying you haven't professed to know Jesus. Teenager, I'm not saying, oh, you went to the Wilds, or you went to Kobiak, or you're to refresh this, or another youth rally, that, man, this is a happening church here, but you're just a miserable mess. Why? Because you've yet to establish a personal, biblical relationship with Jesus. And folks, until you do that, you'll never understand who He truly is and how our God is sufficient, how our God is able to carry you through, that you truly can do all things through Him and He'll give you what it takes. And you don't know that yet because you've yet to receive Jesus as your personal Savior. So I got a great hope statement to give you. You can get saved today. You can quit messing around with mere religious church activity and know before you leave this building that Jesus Christ is truly your personal Savior. And you don't know that. You don't have that. Well, people would think, I've been in this church for years, and if I came forward, okay, go to hell for all eternity in your pride-filled thinking because you're afraid what people will say or think. No, care about what Jesus wants. And you know what he wants? My God is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. That's for you, for God so loved you that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. God wants to bring you that free gift of eternal life that only comes one way. Not just being faithful to this church, not acting like a Christian or, again, participating in the business of a Christian life, but knowing for sure that Jesus is your personal Savior. Secondly, for most of you, if not the majority here, you need to get to know him better. You've gotten lazy, you've got sidelined by the business of your life, and you're not getting to know him better every single day. And folks, we're forgetful people, not just those that are old and cruddy like me. I forget more than I remember. But even as a young person, you forget how great your God is because you're not looking to him. You forget, again, that he is so faithful in a perfect fashion because, again, you're not getting in this book on your knees and, again, knowing him better and reminding yourself every day that God is so good and so good to you. So a great opportunity, folks, here this morning, to really get in the mindset of trust and obey, to really receive and set forth faithfulness to a wonderful, holy God. Get saved. If you are saved, seek his forgiveness because he's looking to clean you up. To, again, get to know him better every day through this book so you can learn that Jesus is trustworthy even in your life. How much? To what degree? Well, let me give it again. In Psalm 62 and verse 8, it says, trust him at all times. Proverbs 3, 5, and 6, you could quote it with your eyes closed or open, couldn't you? But it says in that verse, very simply, trust in the Lord in all thy ways. What's God saying? What does God desire? He wants to give what's best and needed. But he says, trust me. Would you bow your heads and hearts, please?